isn't it true that money produces a person in the renowned order, enjoy wealth in the form of increasing comforts and living a luxurious life donated by the followers or people in general? Probably yes, but don't be judgmental about those who are proudly presenting and sharing the gift of love of God to others. Otherwise, one can commit serious offenses to these great souls. This claim is only validated for those gurus who are fraud and bogus and whose only goal is to accumulate wealth, prestige, followers. However, those who are real gurus and devotees, servants of the Lord, always engage everything in the service of the Lord and accept only little just to keep the body fit, or accept the offerings of the followers to reciprocate with their love without any demands. Let us try to understand more on this subject by knowing the Lord's desire through the scriptures in this regards. The Lord repeatedly declares and demonstrates throughout his pastimes that his devotees are very dear to him. He considers them superior to himself and even worships them. Not only worships them but also derives great pleasure by accepting defeat from them. In fact, many people want to try to become God, but interestingly, God always hankers to become a servant of his devotees. In the Padma Puran, Lord Shiva explains to Mother Parvati that worship of Vishnu is the highest, but even greater is the worship of his devotees. The scripture also states that those who teach and broadcast the Lord's glories and who are surrendered to the Lord are to be worshipped as the representative of the Lord. They have to be offered as much worship as one offers the Lord. Through this, the Lord teaches the followers two things: to always be grateful to them by reciprocating in return, and also to become servant of his devotees before directly trying to become his servant. Isn't this principle also observed in the material world when applied to our parents and our family members? When does the father or mother become happy? Obviously, when they see that the children are being grateful and reciprocating with them by offering them all kinds of help and facilities to make them happy and comfortable. One more thing makes them happy, and that is to see that the children also serve each other because they are very dear to the parents. If they neglect each other, then it is more painful for the parents than even neglecting them. So the worship of the Lord is only complete when we serve his servants like the way we serve him, else it causes pain to the Lord. Moreover, the scripture also demonstrated then that in all earlier Yugas, it was a custom for all the disciples to offer Guru Dakshina to one's Guru. Not to speak of being selective of the offering they made to the Guru, they didn't even hesitate to give their lives or anything that the Guru desired. To please and fulfill the desire of his Guru, Sandipani Muni, Krishna demonstrated an impossible and miraculous feat by bringing back his dead son from Yamlok. Ekalavya offered something extraordinary, which is considered as his very life to Drona, and that was his thumb. Barbarik offered his own head to his Guru for Krishna. Likewise, there are many examples in the scriptures that portray the preeminent position of the Guru. Our Vedic culture repeatedly emphasizes this principle in order to cultivate and preserve the culture of gratitude. Have you ever wondered why people in India give so much respect to all their teachers? That is only because of our Vedic culture, which is passed on from ancient to current time, whereas people from the West address their teachers by their names with no respect and gratitude. This is obviously due to the absence of Vedic culture in the West. The scripture also mentioned that in the material world there are four varnas in ashrama and gives details about the responsibilities of each varna in ashrama. These are as follows. The four varnas are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra, and the four ashramas are Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. In the varna system, the Brahmanas are supposed to guide and lead the kings and the citizens to follow dharma and get closer to God. That is why they are compared to the head of the body. Without head, the body is dead. And for the ashrama system, because the Grihasthas are working class and all others are full-time dedicated to the service of Lord, they are supposed to maintain these other three ashramas. This system is directly created by the Lord and must be followed, else it will lead to the degradation of dharma. From this conclusion given the scriptures, it is understood that in order for the society to march progressively towards dharma, it is an absolute necessity for the people to take guidance from the Brahmanas, the pure devotees of the Lord, and offer them dakshina in order to maintain and facilitate their service to the Lord. As long as the Guru is physically present, the dakshina can be majorly offered by taking care of their bodily needs and providing them proper facilities to the same degree as we will offer the Lord. In return, the Guru takes us back to the spiritual world and permanently frees us from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. Another very important point to consider is that the life of such a Brahmana or Guru is full of risks, challenges, difficulties and sacrifice, as we see in the lives of all great devotees of the Lord, like Pandavas, Kunti, Draupadi, Prahlad, Sudama, Hanuman, and all other devotees of the Lord. A very relevant example is that of Srila Prabhupada, who at the age of 17 left the most sacred and holy place of Vrindavan and went to the US to give the message of Krishna. Now, generally at such an age, people would want to retire and go to Vrindavan and relish devotion. But here we see Srila Prabhupada took unlimited risk challenges by not only giving the message of Lord, but established and managed around 108 temples, farm communities, restaurants, 6,000 disciples, traveled the globe 14 times and tiringly, suffering massive attacks, heart attacks, seasickness, and unlimited challenges. This is the life of a real devotee. He does not just sit comfortably in an air-conditioned room with all the modern facilities. Beyond their success, their great sacrifice and struggle to become what they are. They are living examples of what is given in the scriptures, and that inspires and transforms people from all over the world because they practice what they preach. So considering all this, it is obvious that to lead their life is extremely difficult for an ordinary living being. The Lord empowers such great souls. It is so shameful that in spite of worshipping, following and offering our time and money to such great people, people worship and spend so much money for their favorite movie actors or idols when they haven't even helped them in any way. They are even willing to die for them. That is called real fanaticism and foolishness. When people have great regards and respect for a soldier due to his sacrifice for the country, and because of this the government provides them so many facilities, then how much more respect and facilities a true devotee of the Lord deserves? The soldier saves the country from enemies, whereas if the words of a real Brahmana or Guru are implemented, then that will automatically stop all the wars and hatred in the world, which is the goal of every citizen and soldier. Now, bogus and fraud gurus can obviously take advantage of this principle of Vedic culture and cheat innocent public, and that is why the scriptures strongly warn us not to accept such people as gurus. But because people do not read scriptures and generally follow common and popular belief, most of them get implicated and become trapped. Due to this, a blind leads the blind and they all fall into the ditch. The scriptures describe the main symptoms and responsibilities of a bona fide guru so that a seeker can use his intelligence while selecting a guru. The scriptures declare that the main and prime responsibility of a guru is to be transparent via medium and connect his followers to the Supreme Lord. Not only that, it is also stated even if the guru is bona fide in the beginning but later on deviates from his main responsibility or falls down or gives up his practices, then the disciples should give up the shelter of such a guru. They are no longer obliged to follow that guru and they should take shelter of a bona fide guru again. Bali Maharaj reacted to Shukracharya because instead of approving his act of surrendering to the Lord, he not only disapproved that but also cursed Bali Maharaj and created obstacles to his surrender to the Lord. However, when the guru's only motive is to always act as transparent via medium and bring their followers close to God, then by serving such gurus one can advance in the path of devotion and very quickly attain the Lord, since the Lord becomes extremely pleased by that service to his sincere servants. In this process, the followers can gain so much from the guru that they voluntarily decide to offer them the very best that they possess and also consider it worth to sacrifice their lives. A bona fide guru never uses his followers' money to increase his own comfort, but instead uses that in expanding the glories of the Lord and sharing this message with all the living entities so that they all can go back to the spiritual world where there is no anxiety and suffering, but only bliss of serving the Lord and his devotees. Thank you.